At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
You never want to find yourself out on the water fishing without the essentials. So it's best to always pack a Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie to protect against the sun. I mean, it provides great protection and it's really breathable so you don't get hot. That's a win-win. Columbia PFG has a lot of great gear. So before you head out on the water, head over to Columbia.com/PFG to shop their performance fishing gear.
If you're 21 years old and use nicotine or tobacco, I'm here to tell you about Black Buffalo and how it's redefining tradition for millions of adult consumers. So if you're over 21, consume nicotine or tobacco, and want to join the Black Buffalo herd, head over to blackbuffalo.com to learn more. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Black Buffalo products are intended for adults aged 21 and older who are consumers of nicotine or tobacco.
With AT&T in-car Wi-Fi, elevate your adventure by transforming your vehicle into a reliable Wi-Fi hotspot. Connect up to 10 devices up to 50 feet away from your vehicle, making it ideal for camping and road trips. Don't miss out on the fun. Embark on your next adventure today. Visit att.com/in-car Wi-Fi to check if you're eligible for a free trial. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
It's the Son of a Butch podcast. You know the drill. We come to you every Wednesday. This week's guest, something that I've been wanting to do for a while, and I thought I'd kind of run it back with. She was the first guest of the podcast when I launched it a couple years ago, Mel Reed. She's won a bunch of times on the LPGA Tour. She's been on the Solheim Cup team. And her coach, Jorge Parada. Jorge is the director of instruction at Liberty National. He works with Mel. He works with Carlotta Seganda. Works with Brian O'Toole and is really one of the good young instructors out there in professional golf. But I thought it was cool. I was over at the Grant Thornton, which was the team event, and was talking to Mel and Jorge and was talking to them about being on the podcast. And I was like, why don't I get both of them on? And it's a cool conversation to listen to a really, you know, an elite player and their coach, that kind of back and forth. And that's kind of the world that I live in. And I think it's a unique insight into kind of the relationship between a player and a coach and what that relationship is, what kind of the rules and the boundaries are. So Mel and Jorge do a really great job talking about it. There's some really cool stuff. Mel's a new parent. She and her wife, Carly, they just celebrated having their first baby. So a lot of stuff to talk about. So really excited for this one. Mel and Jorge, sit back and enjoy it. So this is a rarity for the pod. Mel, you were our first guest for the podcast when we started back there. And that's a long time ago because it seems like that was a long time ago, but that was pre you being a proud parent to a new baby boy. You're a parent now, Mel.
That's kind of scary for a lot of people to
it's definitely
to say.
Scary for
me. I know it's a scary part. I think it's scary for Carly as well, my wife. But yeah, he's awesome. He's coming up to a month old now and obviously life changing, and yeah, my life looks very different now than what it did a few months ago. So it's awesome. Yeah, we're obviously still learning and still adjusting, but wouldn't change it.
What's been the biggest surprise in being a brand new parent?
You just don't know what you're doing, do you? Let's be honest. You just try to do your best. You just trying to keep the thing, you know, stopping from crying all the time. But he's a pretty good baby. He's sleeping pretty well through the night. Carly's obviously a natural, which helps. And yeah, it's just awesome. Just seeing his little personality, even at a month old, just grow every day is just kind of cool.
One of the things I've been wanting to do for a while, and you two are the first ones to do it, is to get a player and a coach on the pod at the same time. Jorge, you've worked with a lot of really, really good players, director of instruction at Liberty National. I mean, if there's not a better place to go to work every day than that golf course where you get the view of the skyline and you get a lot of times you get a PGA Tour event, you get a lot of tournaments there. How many weeks are you on the road? You're working with Mel. Give me a list of the other players you're working with.
Yeah, right now, currently, I have four players on the LPGA Tour. So Ryan O'Toole, Reed, and Holmquist and Carlotta Sabenda. And then
she should hit it further. What do you think?
She should.
Mel, should Carlotta hit it further?
Yes. Oh, I've seen her hit it pretty far, though, on the range. I'm not going to lie. That swing speed, she can get up on the range.
What's she like to work with? I mean, when I watch her hit golf balls, it's like, wow, that's a different sound.
Yeah, it's interesting. I've worked with her since 2015, right?
And has she always been long?
She's always been long. She's always been very long. Matter of fact, I would probably argue she was maybe longer when she was younger. She used to hit, not by intention, but more of a draw. So she might have been even a little bit longer. But in 2015, when we started working together, she was someone that had never looked at her swing on video before, had never used any technology at all, had worked with the same instructor since she began when she was like 5 years old. Very old school teacher in Spain. He passed away. Months later, we started working together. And the first thing when she came to, at the time I was working at TPC Sawgrass, so she came to Sawgrass to see me, and she said, "I don't care about stats. Don't show me stats. I don't want to see my swing on video. You can take video and look at it
That's
yourself."
That's a great start.
Yeah. And
why are you golfers all so crazy? Why are you guys all so crazy, Mel?
We're just crazy.
I don't want to see stats. I don't want to look at my golf swing. Don't talk to me about my golf swing. What the hell is she hiring you for?
Yeah. So
travel with you on tour?
That's how it started, right? And I said, okay, well, I've looked at your stats. And for the last 2 years, you've been between 40 and 45 on the money list. And you've been around the same in fairway accuracy, around the same in greens and regulation, around the same in putting. So we need to do something better if you want to make more money next year. Said, okay.
It's not about money. It's about trophies and legacy, but okay. True.
So I said, I'm going to give you one thing only. I said, I'm going to give you greens and regulation to start. All I want you to do when you go play a tournament, look at how many greens you hit for the week, and then look at the first three players on the leaderboard and see if you hit more or less.
Yeah.
And let's start there. If you talk to her now, these many years, she knows.
Oh, she's obsessed.
Every player, she looks at everything. Not everything, but like she looks, and she still consults, right? She doesn't analyze herself. But she loves like understanding that. She'll put TrackMan. She doesn't look at all the numbers, but she'll put a TrackMan down with the driver. She'll look at club head speed, attack angle, ball speed, and then where in the face is being hit. That's it. With the wedges, she looks at launch angle, spin axis, and carry distance. That's it. But she like loves that part of it. So it's been interesting over these many years to see somebody grow that way, right? More into a more understanding, full player, more, complete player.
If I had to describe that, more of a professional,
yeah.
Right? I mean, you can't play competitive golf and never look at your stats, never look at your golf swing, never want to look at your golf swing. I mean, that's an impossibility.
Yeah.
That's not a recipe for success. Mel, as a player, Jorge just described Carlotta. If you had to describe yourself as a no bullshit, not trying to be funny, not making a joke, but if you had to describe yourself as a golfer and as a player, how do you tell me what you feel like your game is? What Jorge says, when you're looking at a coach, what do you want? What do you want to look at? What do you don't want to look at? I think everybody is different, right? Mm-hmm. And I work with, you know, players across the board. I worked with for a long time, and he's a very close friend. He's been on the podcast, Trevor Immelman, who now does an amazing job at CBS. I couldn't give Trevor enough information. Mm-hmm. I couldn't give him enough video. I couldn't send him enough video. We couldn't look at swing. We'd go out to dinner and we'd be looking, you know, he needed it. He wanted it. And then Brooks and DJ, they want no information. Mel, what kind of player would you say you are with regards to your game?
Yeah, I'm a bit of a nut in a different way. I don't know, you might agree or disagree with me here. I get very obsessed with my own golf swing, and I like to ask a lot of questions, but not really helpful questions. Like, I'm like, why do I do this though? And he's like, stop, just do what I'm trying to tell you to do and just trust me. And I'm like, but why? I ask a lot of whys. It's just the way that my brain works. I like to understand why things work. So he has to just basically just take me aside and just tell me to shut up most of the time and because just I've talked calm to, me down. Yeah.
I've talked to players.
It stresses me out.
I've had players on the podcast that say, listen, I'm a soldier. Right. I just want someone to tell me what to do. Mm-hmm. I just want someone to go do this in my golf swing. Okay, I'll do that. Do this from a caddy. I want my caddy. Do this on the golf course. This is the yardage. Hit this shot, right? So there's that thing to where I think as a player, I think a lot of players struggle. We see players struggle because they're trying to be somebody they're not. They're trying to have someone else's pre-shot routine, someone else's view of golf, someone else's approach to golf. Do you think it's important, Mel, to kind of not get wrapped up? Because you can, right?
Right.
You've asked me tons of questions. Mm-hmm. You know, when we were in the pandemic and you were down in Jupiter at mm-hmm. the Floridian, you played a lot with Brooks. Indeed, mm-hmm. you were asking them a lot of questions.
Yeah, like I like to learn. I've always loved to learn. Like especially with athletes, like I've just always been fascinated. Not necessarily just with golf. Like I'm, you know. Even when I see other athletes, I ask them about their workout, like what do they do for their practice? I'm just very intrigued by athletes and how they get the best out of themselves. But it's funny, like when I'm on the golf course, like I take full control. Like Greg, my caddy, he's awesome, but he's more there for support. He's great at his job, don't get me wrong. And there's obviously times I do rely on him, but I take a lot of that control.
You want to make the decisions.
I make the decisions, yeah. Mm-hmm. Like I enjoy that. But with Jorge, I just like driving him nuts, to be honest. I know I'm a bit hard work sometimes. We all are in a different way, but I love learning, but sometimes it's a bit of a detriment because I don't just do what he tells me and trust what he's telling. I do trust him, but just understand that this is what we're trying to do and stop getting on a spiral over here somewhere. So,
all right, I'm going to ask you both this question. I'm going to ask Mel first and then I'll ask you, Jorge. Mel, what do you like about your golf swing and what don't you like about your golf swing? And we only have the memory cards don't have a lot of hours of memory.
I mean, I think it looks an athletic golf swing.
So you think your golf swing passes the eye test?
Most people, yes.
Yeah.
And then I think I
would say for if anyone's listening that hasn't seen, I would say, and I think you'd back me up, you have more classic golf swing, a old school classic in the vein of kind of Tiger 2000, Adam Scott, to where the club gets in a good position. You don't have a lot of idiosyncrasies or a lot of extremes in your golf swing.
Yeah, like my face is usually pretty stable through the golf ball. Things that I don't like about it, I don't like the way my legs work. I don't know. I just, I feel like I don't utilize them the way that I should, but...
All right,
you
keep coach.
Going.
All right, coach.
You keep going. You got more.
Okay, so when you first met Mel, right? Yeah. It's always the eye test for an instructor is if you're going to work with a player, you either think you can help them, you like their swing, you like their game. So when you met Mel, what did you like about her golf swing, and what were the things that you went, I think these things could improve.
Yeah, I mean, I would say when I start working with a player, and this is something I developed obviously over the years, but I have a questionnaire that I send players. And I remember when Suzanne Pedersen, when she first approached me and she had just finished working with your dad because your dad was not able to travel as much, she wasn't able to see him. And she asked me, hey, would you help me next year? And I said,
and then you sent her the questionnaire and she told you to go fuck yourself.
Basic. Yes. She called me and she
right?
goes,
sounds
she goes,
right.
I mean, does that not,
yes.
Pardon, apologize for any kids listening, but I knew as soon as you told that story and you said you were going to send Suzanne Pedersen a questionnaire.
Yeah.
I pretty much knew the answer was going to be two words, maybe three.
Yeah.
And if I had the guts, I would have done the same thing because I just looked at it and I was like, what the hell is this?
Yeah. Questionnaire. What am I? Wait a minute. I'm trying to hire you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're the jackass sending me. Wait a minute. Who's hiring? Am I auditioning for you?
Right.
So, and honestly, a lot of those questions, and I have them now, and I just sent them to a national team that I'm going to work with. But I sent it to 16 girls, so we'll see how many answer them, right? But the idea is for me to get to know the player, mm-hmm. first of all, what you were talking about earlier. Every player is different. Every player has a different mentality. So one of the questions I have in the questionnaire is, do you consider yourself a structured or unstructured human being?
Mel, are you a structured or unstructured human being? I'm not going to ask you about your personal life because I know the answer to the personal life question.
I think
it's not structured.
Every single day we work together, he's like, where's your alignment stick? And I'm like, oh, oh yeah, well, I was just hitting like, you know, and he's like, no, just get your alignment stick out. I'm like, okay.
I mean, for alignment, alignment is the lowest hanging fruit on the planet.
But it's every day.
And I don't.
And the reason why I think the I said this to a kid the other day. He was like, well, how do you know? Kid, he was over from Finland. Kid's got really good action, and he hit one, and it was miles offline. And I was like, okay, what was that? What caused that? And he was like, I'm like, okay, first and foremost, are you aimed there? So where's your target? Okay, it was a flag. I said, we've got the alignment stick. I said, so you just miss your target by 25 yards to the left. So the alignment stick on the ground, you can eliminate, okay, I wasn't aimed there. So then you can start to work backwards from that.
Right.
Right? And I think the alignment rod, you hate him telling you to get the alignment rod, don't you? Because you forget.
I know, I feel, yeah.
And I would say, right, like she,
okay, what
I
percentage,
would say she's unstructured.
What percentage of the girls you ask that, or the players you ask that, when you send a player a question and you say, listen, are you an unstructured person or are you a structured person from a practice golf standpoint? What's the ratio of structured to non-structured?
So I would say, I'm going to answer that in two parts, if I can.
And I'm going to throw a caveat in there.
Yeah.
Have you noticed a difference in players that are higher up the rankings in their structure, non-structure?
So I have not noticed a difference in that. But where I have noticed a difference is most people, majority of people, not everybody, majority of people answer structure. Okay. But after we get to know each other, I would say about 50% of the people that answer structure, we switch it months into working together.
To go unstructured.
To go unstructured because they realize they answer that question based on what society made them think is the right thing to do.
Yeah, they think.
When I worked with Jonas, which is when we met, starting working with Jonas Blix, he was extremely unstructured. And what I mean by that is, he woke up in the morning and he knew he wanted his lag putting to improve. Let's say it was a Tuesday before a tournament. He knew his lag putting needed to get better. He knew he wanted to work a little bit on his wedges. He knew he wanted to work a little bit on his starting line with his driver. And he knew he wanted to get 9 holes done. He had no clue what he was going to do first. We would show up on the golf course. He'd look at the putting green and say, it's too busy. Let's go do some wedges. And he wouldn't care. But also, he would never leave the golf course until everything was done. Mel's a little bit that way. She knows what she wants to get done. She goes and does it.
She maybe just doesn't have an action plan, but she will stay there and get it all done.
Exactly. So what happens when we grow up, we go to school. And when we go to school and we're growing up, everybody tells us we have to have a routine. We have to do things in order. And if we don't do
that. An action without a plan is a wish, yeah. all the cliches.
And if we don't do those things, right, we are lazy. I don't believe it to be true. I believe, and you know Jihei, for example, and you know Jihei, that's why I bring her up.
From Sportsbox, yeah.
Yeah. Extremely unstructured person. Mm-hmm. Went to Yale, went to Penn, played golf on tour, Top Golf,
yeah. Created
CEO,
an app, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Fantastic.
She's a boss. Mm-hmm.
Very unstructured. She will tell you. She calls herself a chaos muppet. Okay. Very unstructured, but she knows what she wants to do, and she gets it done. It just doesn't mean that she gets it done in an order. Now, there are other players that I've worked with. Suzanne, very unstructured. Not a clue what she was going to do at each time. There are other players that like to put the clothes out at night, write down tomorrow morning, breakfast, 8 a.m., putting, 8:30.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
If you're 21 years old and use nicotine or tobacco, I'm here to tell you about Black Buffalo. and how it's redefining tradition for millions of adult consumers. So if you're over 21, consume nicotine or tobacco, and want to join the Black Buffalo herd, head over to blackbuffalo.com to learn more. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Black Buffalo products are intended for adults aged 21 and older who are consumers of nicotine or tobacco.
With AT&T in-car Wi-Fi, elevate your adventure by transforming your vehicle into a reliable Wi-Fi hotspot. Connect up to 10 devices up to 50 feet away from your vehicle, making it ideal for camping and road trips. Don't miss out on the fun. Embark on your next adventure today. Visit att.com/in-car Wi-Fi to check if you're eligible for a free trial. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Tired of pickup truck bed chaos? Meet Decked. Game-changing USA-made full bed-length drawers for tools and gear. Waterproof, dustproof, lockable, secure. Whether you're working, hunting, fishing, camping, or just getting out of town. And introducing Decked Deco Cases. Tough, modular, problem-solving cases built for the truck, job site, campsite, or garage. Say goodbye to random bins and tie-downs. Order now at Decked.com/iHeart for free shipping. Decked. Your truck, your rules. Decked.com/iHeart.
I remember when Tiger came out, they made him have a mandatory press conference, right? When Tiger first turned pro, he was, you know, every single week he was having a press conference. And the press conference was at the same time every day, right? So he had a day and a time. And the time was normally in the afternoon. And when Tiger first came on a tour, he would go out and play nine holes. And my dad would be like, dude, you got a press conference. He's like, they'll come get me. Right. He would make them come get him.
Yeah.
And as he became the greatest player the game has ever seen, in my opinion, his life became so much more structured. And my dad said the years that he worked with Greg Norman, because they had so many obligations off the golf course. And I think Tiger's life got like that as well. He had so many other things going on, right? When you reach a global icon status, your time is very limited. So I watched Tiger as he got better, become way more structured and incredibly diligent. And you could mark your watch by when he was going to walk onto the range, when he was going to go to the tee. He was a robot in his structure at his best.
Yeah. And that's probably how his mind worked naturally.
How can people listening, guys, figure out which one they are?
Well, I think for me, like even in my personal life, I like plans. I enjoy plans, but I don't necessarily like structure.
Drinking plans?
Who told you that? Oh, dear me. Yes, I do like a structure for drinking. But I don't enjoy structure. So like, I know what my drills are. I know what I need to get done, but it has to be the way I want to do it, if that makes sense. And I think that took me a lot, like quite a while in my career to kind of figure that out. I was always trying to be the kind of more the structured to feel like I was getting the most out of my day. Whereas now I'm like, right, I know I need to do this drill. I know I need to do this movement. I'm a bit more easygoing in a sense of how that's going to be approached, but I definitely get it done. And that's helped me, I think, be a bit more about like the quality instead of the quantity.
As a player, if you guys are working on something, if Jorge's asking you to do something or doing a drill and you don't like the drill or you don't do it, and are you someone that's going to say, hey, I don't really like doing that. Can we find another way to do it? Or are you like the majority of tour players? You'll do it. You won't want to do it. You'll be mad at us for telling you to do it. And then 3-4 months later, the water bottle won't be in the right place. And then you start yelling at us and you say, and I hate that drill anyway. Are you one of those?
I don't think so.
No, we actually talked about this a couple of days ago. I think I'm very quick.
Yeah, he can tell.
I say, hey, I want to get this done. I want to move it this way for this reason, right? Let's try the first thing. We're going to try this type of drill, which is an avoidance drill. So here's this, avoid that, like this. 1-2 shots. Nope, I don't like how your body's reacting to it. I don't like how the club's reacting to that. Drill is not going to work. Let's go in a different direction. So now we're going to try a visual cue type of drill. So try that one. Ooh, you react really well to that. Let's stick with that one. And usually she will tell me otherwise, but we're pretty quick on like throwing a drill out of it's the not equation.
Working. Yeah. Pretty-
if in a couple, the first couple swings, I mean, she's so athletic, right? You've seen her.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Like, obviously, you know, these elite athletes are so athletic that if you give them a drill and they don't look athletic, clearly there is something between the connection of the mind to the body that, in my opinion, is not.
You talk about structure, and I think what everybody listening, and in my head, I was thinking, okay, the structure is talking about practice, but it's something that I talk a lot about, and I think that a lot of players that are trying to get to that next level are convinced that the only way they can get there is to have incredibly structured, incredibly lengthy, incredibly technically overloaded practice sessions. What are some things that you both think that people listening can do from a structure on the golf course when they're playing golf, not practicing golf? Because I think, I just see that, I think everybody in golf just practices too much.
Mm.
I think we are, as golfers, we are overloaded with practice and we're underloaded with real-time data playing what's happening in the game. I mean, would you guys agree that at times practice can almost in your head become more important than playing? What you're doing on the range, it's like, okay, well, let me just get back to the range. And it's like, sometimes you can forget what you're doing on the course. Yeah, okay, I just want to get to the range and work on this. I'm like, yeah, but it's not a game of practice, right? You know, if golf was a game of practice, it would have judges. And Nelly Korda would win every week and Adam Scott would win every week because the judges would look at their golf swings and go 10, 9, 9, 9, 8. If you didn't have a beautiful, technically sound golf swing, from a judgment standpoint, you wouldn't be able to do. What are some things that you can structure on the golf course when you're playing?
I mean, I think for us, like, he just gets me more in my target lines. He's pretty structured with that, and he's pretty, because I, again, shock, I can be a little bit undisciplined.
So does he verbally ask you?
Yeah, he's like, where are you starting this? Okay. I'm like, I'm going to start at that tree, and the wind's going to move it right. And he's like, perfect. And then he's like, hit it hard.
Because I think a lot of golfers, I'll ask them that, especially high handicap golfers, where's your target? And they'll say, well, the flag. I'm like, you know, that's not going to work because you're not going to hit your target given your talent level and stuff like that. And I think what you said there, Mel, is really important, that you're being structured with your target line, being structured with where you're starting the golf ball. I think, or would you agree, I think most golfers are obsessed where the golf ball is going and they're not obsessed where the golf ball is starting.
Yeah.
And if you're trying to hit a draw, the ball damn well better start to the right. And if you're trying to hit a fade, I think a lot of players think, if I'm going to hit a draw, I aim it right at the flag and then I hit the draw.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right. And then it's curving offline. And I think that, would you say that structure in having very diligent, specific, regular, what's your target? What's your target line? Where are you trying to start this golf ball? Yeah. I think that has a tremendous amount of power in it.
Yeah, even working with elite golfers, right? Obviously, elite golfers are different because of, you know, everything they're going through, right? But I remember, looking through, like, even with her, we're on the golf course, and it's a little windy, and there's a slope right to left, and then, where's your target? 2 yards right of the flag. Okay, what's your starting line? 2 yards right of the flag. But you have a right to left slope.
Yeah, that lie.
And it's into the wind. Where do you want to land it? Well, it's 145. Okay. And the wind is making it play 150. No, no, no. Where do you want to land it? Right? So, like, even the ability to always follow the same process of how you communicate
with yourself or with your caddy.
So, right? So if you're an elite level, what's the flag? Where do you want to land? Now, what's the wind playing? Then, what's the slope doing? Then, what's the total shot playing? Then, what club do I select for that specific distance with that specific light? Then, go ahead and execute. But I think a lot of times, most players will jump all of those. It'll be 145 is playing 150, grab my 150 club, or grab my 160 club and try to hit a knockdown, right? And that's it. So it's interesting. That's what I think, that's what a lot of people can really learn, is the fact that they jump steps to get to the flag, right? Or they jump steps to, as you said, figure out where they want to finish the ball. But you know, these elite athletes, they control the starting line much more than they control their finish line.
Correct.
Much more.
And that's the opposite of the average golfer. The average golfer, I think, you know, that's playing golf non-professionally, non-ultra competitively, is never even thinking about their start line. They're never even thinking about where they're intending to start the golf ball. They're just hyper-focused on where the golf ball is going to finish. Mm-hmm. Now, what type of player are you from driving range to the golf course? How many swing thoughts are you taking with you to the golf course? Are you trying to go to the golf course with no swing thoughts? If you do take them, how many are you taking them? Or do you just go and say, listen, I have what I have today. I was on the range. This is what I've got. This is the shape I've got. And I'm just going to go play golf.
So I'm a type of player. I do like a swing thought. I've got like one with my driver. And then I want to maybe two with my full swings. But that's pretty much it. Like, I don't know, my feeling that I feel most comfortable with. I have like a few that we can always revert back to. So if like one's not working that day, I can go to another one that I like and another one. So I have like a little blueprint of swing thoughts that usually are pretty solid.
And what's the main feeling that you like to take to the golf course? Or does that change?
Honestly, hit it hard, if I'm completely honest. Like, I get in trouble when I don't. It's, I guess another word you could say is commit, but I don't feel like I'm not committing. I just don't swing as hard. And so that is what manipulates the club and gets my body not moving as athletic as it should.
But Jorge, wouldn't you say that when Mel doesn't hit the golf ball hard, those would be the swings where she says she doesn't like the way her legs look?
Yeah, that's
exactly.
Right? Yeah, 100%.
Exactly. She tenses up. She gets less aggressive.
A little slow, a little steery.
Yeah.
My legs go before my hands in my body, yeah.
Yeah.
And I always think it's, you can let yourself off the hook if you're trying to hit a good shot and you hit a bad one. Then it's harder to let yourself off the hook when you're not trying to hit it OB, when you're not trying to hit out of bounds, you're not trying to hit it in the water. So you take a club and you don't make an aggressive swing and you're like, I should have just hit driver. Mm-hmm. I'm up here trying to steer a 3-wood and I didn't really commit to it and I really didn't trust the swing. And if I think a lot of people on the average golfer thinks that the majority of their golf swings are bad, and people say, oh, you swung too hard. I don't really see that. I see what most people do on the golf course is their body stops and their arms swing hard. They're not swinging hard. They're just swinging their arms hard because the body stops.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, you know, with Mel, she was saying, I mean, and we used that a lot last year. I call it closing the loop, right? So I talk about what the brain does, right? And you, interestingly, you brought up archery. This is something I learned from a guy called Joe Turner, and he talks about the mental loop. So if the brain is on an open loop, any thought can come in at any given point. Where if the brain is on a closed loop, it's hard for anything to come up. So I do exercises with, and we did it a lot last year, where she was talking about saying the same word over and over again throughout the entire golf swing. So whether it was turn, 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 and her brain just kept saying turn, 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 turn. Or if it was two swing thoughts, it was right, left. Let's say with the driver last year, for example, we were trying to move a little bit off to the right, a little bit through the ball. So right, right, right. And as soon as you got to the top of the swing, she would say left, 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 left. And the brain was always closing the loop of those two thoughts. If you're walking and you say right, left, right, left, right, left,
taking the focus off of,
you can't think of anything else coming around, right?
Yeah.
Tiger said that to me. I mean, when Tiger went on that run in 2000, he had that putt at Valhalla in the playoff to get into a playoff with Bob May.
Yeah.
He was kind of downhill and stuff like that. And I asked him after the season was over, I said, what were you saying to yourself? And he said, he said, if you could hear what I was saying to myself in my head, he said, I got over the putt and I was like, this putt's so easy. My mom could make this putt. And he said, basically, once I saw that, he said, I just am saying over and over in my head, make it, make it, make it, make it. That sounds, yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. That sounds simplistic. But if that is the mantra and that is the only thing that you're saying to yourself, that can't be a negative.
Right, right.
And, like that, and that's got, something positive has to come out of trying to have your focus be on something mm-hmm. that is task-oriented and task-positive.
Mm-hmm. Correct. And is what you're trying to achieve, right? You're telling yourself what the swing thought or the feel or the sensation, whatever we want to call it. If it's be aggressive and you tell yourself aggressive, 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 and the only word going through your mind is aggressive.
That's in that loop is aggressive.
Nothing else is going to come in. It's hard for the thought of, oh, leg right, bunker left, any of those thoughts. So, you know, we talk a lot about, I'd rather you pick a more conservative line and make a more aggressive swing.
Conservative targets, pick a very
aggressive
swings.
Target, and then make a conservative swing, right? Yeah.
Or a non-committed swing.
Exactly.
Mel, do you find that sometimes when you're taking really, really aggressive lines to where it's a really, really dicey pin, you know, forced carry over water, you're trying to push it, and you're trying to be super, super aggressive, it's sometimes those situations can get away from you? Or does that help you?
If I'm honest, I think it helps me.
Right.
Like, if I've got a tight drive and I in my own head, so I'm like,
it forces you to
I have to commit to this.
Yeah.
Like, I have to, if I've got any chance of hitting this drive where I want it, I have to commit to this. Like, if I've got any chance of this 5-iron getting over that water on this par 5, I have to commit to this. So it almost forces me into that space. So yeah, I mean, I would say I'm usually better, and it's when I've got like a wedge in the middle of a green that I usually,
I spent, I am the only person that has ever worked with Bubba Watson. It was 2 weeks. I worked with him at Memorial in 20 and for about 5 days at the PGA, right? And so we were at Memorial and I was asking him about his game, and I started to notice something that he would say to his caddy, who now caddies for Scottie Scheffler, Teddy Scott. We'd get, it'd be a practice round, we'd get over the ball, we'd get to the ball, and Bubba would start going, all right, Petty, what do you want to see here? Kind of shot you want to see here? So Teddy would give him the number, and then Bubba's immediate reaction was, what kind of shot you want to see here? Because he's got every shot he can play, right? The way Bubba plays golf is, and Bubba said, listen, when I get in difficult situations, I feel like that's when I'm at my best, right? Case in point, winning the first Masters, hits it way right at 18, the iconic, you know, I mean, the hook to get to get it around, to get the ball, to get anywhere close to the green, let alone where he got it. But I finally got him to admit that the difficulty is 7-iron from the middle of the fairway to an easy pin, to a not a tucked pin, right, to a green light pin, a wedge in his hand from his wedge yarded to a green light pin. He's like, that's where I get paralyzed. Because I've got so many options that I can't see any. And that is such a weird place to be in, right? But I think it goes to what you said was, when the situation demands the most focus, it's easier for you to focus in on that.
Right. Like, you know, if I do tend to hit, you know, when I hit a bad shot in the trees or something, and I'm, you know, me and Greg will be like, right, we need, you know, it's 1:30, we need to hit it under this tree, let's just hit a low 7, like, run it up, you know.
Because this is because this is a podcast and people aren't watching you, when you started describing that story, your eyes, your head went down low,
right.
Your eyes went low. But
so I'm almost talking to myself about the process of the shot.
Sometimes I take people into the trees and say, all right, get out. What do you see? Hit me a hook out of this. Sometimes these players couldn't hit a snap hook or draw the golf ball to save their life from a flat lie with a 7-iron, but you get them into the trees and you say, okay, you got to get it around this corner. You've got a little bit of a window. We're trying to keep your ball flight down. All right, let's go over. See those trees over there? See that branch? You've got to hit me 5-10 shots underneath that.
No. Yeah, 100%. I think that's honestly like when it just... it's just clearer for me because I know exactly what I'm having to do. And so there's just no, for me, I feel like the doubt just goes away. Like I know exactly the shot I'm going to play. Like I said, when I'm in trouble and stuff, or if I've got a moment where, you know, if I have to birdie the last, even, you know, not even to win a tournament, to make the cut.
Yeah.
I somehow, you know, not all the time, obviously, but a lot of the times I give myself a pretty good chance because I know, right, I've just got to commit to the 7. I'm going to hit a cut off there. And it's just very clear. But we've got to try and do that on the first tee on the Thursday. Do you know what I mean? You've got to do it straight away. But it's difficult sometimes.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
If you're 21 years old and use nicotine or tobacco, I'm here to tell you about Black Buffalo and how it's redefining tradition for millions of adult consumers. So if you're over 21, consume nicotine or tobacco, and want to join the Black Buffalo herd, head over to blackbuffalo.com to learn more. Warning. This product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Black Buffalo products are intended for adults aged 21 and older who are consumers of nicotine or tobacco.
With AT&T in-car Wi-Fi, elevate your adventure by transforming your vehicle into a reliable Wi-Fi hotspot. Connect up to 10 devices up to 50 feet away from your vehicle, making it ideal for camping and road trips. Don't miss out on the fun. Embark on your next adventure today. Visit att.com/in-car Wi-Fi to check if you're eligible for a free trial. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Tired of pickup truck bed chaos? Meet Decked, game-changing USA-made full bed-length drawers for tools and gear. Waterproof, dustproof, lockable, secure. Whether you're working, hunting, fishing, camping, or just getting out of town. And introducing Decked Deco Cases. Tough, modular, problem-solving cases built for the truck, job site, campsite, or garage. Say goodbye to random bins and tie-downs. Order now at Decked.com/iHeart for free shipping. Decked, your truck, your rules. Decked.com/iHeart.
Porga and I give golf lessons to regular golfers. You are not a regular golfer. You are a professional golfer and an elite golfer. You play pro-ams with the people that, when we're not on tour, that we teach on a regular basis. The average, everyday, handicapped golfer. Not scratched. They're just sometimes they're weekend golfers. Sometimes they're recreational golfers. You play pro-ams every time you're on tour. Give me the top three things that you see on a regular basis from your pro-am partners, and what do you think for the majority of them is the lowest hanging fruit for them to improve?
They certainly don't hit it as far as they think. They've hit like one 7-iron 200 yards once, and so they think that they should hit their 7-iron 200 yards every time. That's number one. I feel like they just straight away just grab a lob wedge every time they need to chip. You can chip with a 9-iron. You know, that's pretty, I think that would help their short game tremendously. And honestly, pace on the greens. I think that they just try and smash it in the hole all the time, or, you know, they leave it 8 foot short. So that would be my three things. I think that they actually need to understand their average distance, not their highest distance with each club. Chip with not lob wedge. You know, it's hard to chip with a lob wedge, especially on grainy grass, especially here in Florida. You've got to practice that a lot. And just honestly, pace on the greens. I think that if they improve them three, and I think it would make a huge difference to the average golfer.
I know you'd agree, Hoyt. I think the biggest value that I have to a student isn't standing on a driving range with them. It's actually going out on the golf course and just going, hey, don't hit that shot, hit this one. No, don't hit this club, hit that one. No, don't take that target line, take that one. No, don't try and carry that. Lay up, play smart. And I always say to players, play for the pars and the birdies kind of get in the way. But I think what everybody tries to do is everybody just tries to play for the birdies, right?
Yeah. Well, I had this situation happen 2 years ago with one of our members at Liberty. This lady doesn't play a lot of golf, beautiful golf swing. And she said, I'm not very confident, but I have to play this Nexus Cup that we have coming up with my husband and two other people. I said, well, you have a great golf swing. No, I don't. Okay, very athletic, very good. Let's go on the golf course a couple of times before. She was at 25 handicap. We go on the golf course. We get to the first hole. You've been at Liberty, so you know what the first hole is. She's like, oh, here I hit 3 wood down there. I'm like, well, there's a creek on the right. There's a bunker on the left. No, hit your 7-iron. But that's not going to get me to the fairway. Right. 7-iron to the rough, doesn't even get to the fairway. Like, okay, now hit a pitching wedge to that layup area where your 3-wood would be. Okay, go there. Okay, now hit another pitching wedge to the right side of the green. Okay, 2-putt, she makes a bogey. Then we go next hole is par 3. So I said, we're going to skip down one. We're going to go down there. So we go down. We get to hole number 5. Lake on the left, out of bounds right, narrow. I said, okay, here you can hit 3-wood if you want to, or driver. So she hits it. And then it gets really narrow. Then it's 13 yards from the water hazard on the left to the bunker on the right and the entrance of the green. She's like, well, here I would hit 8-iron on the green. I'm like, no, we're going to hit pitching wedge short of the green. That's a 40-yard landing area. Hits pitching wedge. I'm like, now hit a wedge. Hits a wedge to the middle of the green. 2-putts, bogey. I'm like, okay. You bogey, right?
Take that.
You're 1-under. We're playing holes that you have 2 strokes on some of them. You're 1-under par. Let's go to the par 5. Go par 5. Driver. I go 7-iron. Lake right again. Fescue left. Very dangerous. She's like, normally here I would hit my 3-wood to get as close as I can. I'm like, yeah, you'd hit it on the water. Or you hit it in the fescue. 7-iron. I said, pitching wedge. Another wedge into the green. 2-putts, right? So she's like, oh, I never thought about playing this way. I said, well, what I want you to do for the Nexus Cup is I want you to add the strokes and put my par, right? My par. And put 7, 5, 6, whatever it is. She shoots 82 and they win the Nexus Cup. And she's like, I never thought I could play that good. I go, just play to your skill. You play to your level, right?
I mean, I think everyone thinks their level is much higher than it is, right? And I think that's because we watch people like you, Mal, and we watch golf on TV and we watch all you great players do things. And we're so predisposed to the numbers that you all are hitting and the shots that you all are hitting. I mean, you know, certainly on the men's side, it's rare that there's a par five that everybody in the group isn't going for, right? On the PGA Tour, the majority of the guys sure as hell aren't laying up.
Yeah.
They're going to try and smash it down there and get it. And I think the viewers watch the way the best players in the world play, and it'd be like watching Max Verstappen drive his Red Bull F1 car and then going and getting in your Toyota Corolla and go try and do the same thing. Mm-hmm. And it's just not going to work, right? And on top of that, you don't know how to drive anyway.
Yep.
So the car is not going to do what you're trying to get it to do, and you don't know how to drive it at those speeds. Yeah, I find that fascinating. I don't think there's any other sport that people play recreationally where I think golfers are at the top of the list of over expectations, right? Their expectations are their golf swing's going to improve as the day goes on, that their golf swing's going to get better on the golf course. So they're just going to keep trying stuff on the golf course because they're going to improve as the round goes on. And it's just, that shit just doesn't happen.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's each person has a certain level of skill, right? And that skill gives them variance. If you want the variance to be smaller, you must improve your skill. And if you want your score to be better, you must manage your variance. But you can't do both at the same time. So if you want your skill to improve, go improve your skill. That's fine. It might take a month. It might take 6. It might take 5 years. I don't know how long it's going to take. But go improve your skill. If you want to score better, take that same variance you currently have, which your skill gives you, and manage it the best you can on the golf course. And then you'll get your best score for you, your best scoring average over the course
Not the best score for par, the best score for you.
Mm-hmm. For your current skill level, right? I mean, you see these working with your players. They don't hit it where they're looking all the time. And they don't know if the push cut's coming, or if the pull cut's coming, or the one that goes straight at the pin's coming before they swing the club. They don't know which one is coming. But their skill is so high that the larger percentage of times they hit it somewhat where they're looking. And then a worse golfer, even a professional golfer at a lower level, a lot of times the variance may be a little bit larger because the skill is maybe slightly worse. But what they do unbelievably well is they manage that variance the best of their ability.
And they manage their game.
Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, I remember watching Brooks at Bethpage. If I remember correctly, I think he hit 47% or 48% of fairways that week. And he won with what appeared to be absolutely no problem.
That was a problem at the end.
But you know what I mean?
Like, he cruised through the first three rounds, and you would have thought that he basically hit every fairway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he managed, as soon as it was, and I've been at Bethpage, and you've been at Bethpage, obviously. I don't know if you've ever been there. It's a beast.
It's hard.
Like, a beast. And you could see, like, tuck left pin, right? Tuck short left pin from the left rough. Somewhat right side of the pin, somewhere on the green, put it backwards, waited until the next. It just looked so manageable.
Yeah.
Even though I'm sure internally for him it wasn't, right? But it looked manageable. And his skill level is what it is.
But I think what I hear you saying is whatever your skill level is, try and play to your skill level as opposed to trying to do something that you can't do or isn't your skill level.
Right. Or even try to improve your skill while you're playing.
Yeah.
Try to hit it better than you actually have the current ability, right? We talked, I mean, with Mel yesterday, we were doing the practice round. She wasn't feeling great, practice round. And I said, well, you haven't competed in 3 months. And I said, but on the back nine, and she said, but I'm hitting it thin. So, well, in the back nine, how many birdie putts do you have? Like inside 20 feet. And we started counting. She had 5 out of 9. Inside 20. Right?
And keep hitting it thin.
I'm like, well, inside 20 feet, you're better than, you know, you're better than number one in the world in those 9 holes. But yes, she's on the practice round trying to improve this skill, meaning she's trying to hit it more solid, more of the center of the face. That feels a little better than the swing. And I was like, what you have right now is these. Manage that. You did great at managing it. And you hit a lot of balls inside where if it was a competition and you stayed patient, you would shoot a pretty good round on the back nine. And then we went on the driving range and it felt better. And I said, okay, well. And then today, it was much more solid, right? But I'm not sure that she hit as many inside 20 feet, but it felt great.
But it felt better.
So the skill versus the managing, right? Managing that ability and that variance and that skill in playing, that's what these players are so unbelievable at.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
If you're 21 years old and use nicotine or tobacco, I'm here to tell you about Black Buffalo and how it's redefining tradition for millions of adult consumers. So if you're over 21, consume nicotine or tobacco, and want to join the Black Buffalo herd, head over to blackbuffalo.com to learn more. Warning. This product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Black Buffalo products are intended for adults aged 21 and older who are consumers of nicotine or tobacco.
With AT&T in-car Wi-Fi, elevate your adventure by transforming your vehicle into a reliable Wi-Fi hotspot. Connect up to 10 devices up to 50 feet away from your vehicle, making it ideal for camping and road trips. Don't miss out on the fun. Embark on your next adventure today. Visit att.com/in-car Wi-Fi to check if you're eligible for a free trial. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Inspired a pickup truck bed chaos? Meet Decked. Game-changing USA-made full bed-length drawers for tools and gear. Waterproof, dustproof, lockable, secure. Whether you're working, hunting, fishing, camping, or just getting out of town. And introducing Decked Deco Cases. Tough, modular, problem-solving cases built for the truck, job site, campsite, or garage. Say goodbye to random bins and tie-downs. Order now at Decked.com/iHeart for free shipping. Decked. Your truck, your rules. Decked.com/iHeart.
Lastly, a question for you both. Mel, you can answer first. Life-changing year for you off the golf course, welcoming your first child. You recently got married. But grade-wise for this year on the LPGA Tour, what grade do you give yourself and what do you feel like you need to do better next year?
I'm going to give myself a little bit of grace in that, you know, I was injured towards the end of 2022. Wasn't sure. I didn't have great status at the start of the year, and we had only a certain amount of events to get that back, which we did. I couldn't play the Asian events at the end of the year just because obviously Carly was, we were expecting, and, you know, still finished 82nd on CME. So I'd say overall, with all the circumstances, we had a pretty decent year, considering.
B minus? B plus?
B minus, I would say. I think we got a lot of great work done. My putting improved. My driving distance was good. So yeah, I mean, next year's going to look different. I think obviously having a baby now, we're going to have to manage our time better.
Is he going to travel?
Yeah, he's going to travel with us. Yeah, for sure. I couldn't do otherwise. So, you know, for me, I think I'm just going to have to be very, very present during my practice sessions and when I'm at the golf course so that I don't take it home with me. I think that that's something that I'm going to try and develop as quickly as I can. But yeah, I mean, I feel like, yeah, I haven't played in 3 months, but, you know, Jorge came down last week and I felt like the base of the swing was pretty good. Obviously, I'm a bit rusty, so I'm proud of the work that we've done together. And obviously, he's helped me tremendously. And yeah, I'm looking forward to next year.
What do you think, Jorge? What are the strengths that she can carry to next year? And what are some things that you guys are looking to improve as a team?
So I'll give you my grade on this year. So, and this is because, believe it or not, I never judge ever. And if you ask me or ask, I never judge a year based on results, ever. They will, I don't. I judge it. Like, if I ever say I'm proud of somebody, it's, And if I had a kid, this probably would be the way I would raise my kid. Not saying it's the right way or the wrong way, probably the wrong way because I don't have one. But I would be proud of your effort, your intention, and the attention that you pay to that intention. Those are the three things I judge somebody on. Mel, this year, probably I would give her A- this year. And I'll give you one example. She started the year with medical because of last year. She knew how she had to play for the first 6 events. We felt we were in a good place from the off-season, and then the results weren't coming, right? Missed a few cuts, made a couple. Was not going to reshuffle in a good place, was not going to maintain her full status. Mel of any other year, Liberty National event comes up. It's my home course. She asked for an invite. She didn't get it. And she was going to get into ShopRite the next week. But that was the first event after the reshuffle. Mel of any other year would have stayed home, practice at home, be with her wife, right? And I talked to her and I said, you make the choice. I'm just going to give you something else to think about. Worst case scenario, you come up here, you work with me Saturday and Sunday, away from a tournament, I'm my home course, I have all my stuff here. We do practice rounds, you play the Monday qualifier, you miss the Monday qualifier, and you go back home, and you're at home with Carly Tuesday through the next Tuesday because ShopRite's a Friday start. You still get 7 days. Worst case scenario, you saw me for 3 full days. That's the worst case. Worst thing that can happen. Best thing that can happen, you come work Saturday, you work Sunday, you make it through the Monday qualifier, you're in the tournament. Second best thing that can happen, you come, you work with me Saturday, work with me Sunday, you miss the Monday qualifier on Monday, but one of the girls who already has a invite makes it on the Monday. And then you get the next invite. And then third one is, by Monday, you're second alternate right now. By Monday, somebody pulls out and you're in the tournament. And she can tell you this. She thought about it. She made the decision to come up, which she probably would have never done before.
I have never done, actually.
She came up on Saturday morning. We worked on Saturday. We worked on Sunday. She played the Monday. No, she didn't play the Monday. Someone pulled out. And Monday morning, before she had to play, she got the last spot because somebody got injured. And I said, that's karma. Whether you believe in karma or not, we can call it whatever, right? But you got the spot. Then she starts makes another cut, goes to KPMG, is near the lead after 2 days. And all of a sudden, all of that rolls, right? Her year completely changed after that. Completely changed. And that's why I am proud of this year for her, because she did things that she would have never done in the past. Being with her back on against the wall, she didn't take the easier route. And it paid off to regain her full status, even playing a small amount of events, full status for next year, restart with a good card, and being a good friend of mine. So that's why I give an A+.
Aww. I would say. George.
I like it. That's, look at that.
That's nice for spending the last 6 out of 8 days with me, isn't it?
Huh?
You're not sick of me.
He had to say that.
Cute. That's how I judge. That's how I judge everybody.
Well, thank you both for talking to me. Mel, like I said, you were the first podcast guest. Cool to get you back on.
Appreciate it.
I hope I get video when the little guy starts swinging.
Mm-hmm.
Has he had a golf club in his hand yet?
Not yet. I'm trying to get him into real football. So he's got some big feet on him. So I'm already getting him into his little movements. But I mean,
real football. Yeah. Thanks for talking to us, guys.
Thank you.
So that was a really cool insight into the player-coach relationship. And listen, I'm always fascinated by it. I'm right in the middle of it with working with players and stuff. But I'm always interested to listen to how that relationship between a player and a coach works and what makes those partnerships gel and be successful. And I thought Mel and Jorge did a great, great job on that. And that's something that I'm going to try and do more is get a coach and a player on, or maybe even a caddy and a player on at the same time. I think that would be a really, really cool discussion. But I want to thank everyone for listening to the pod. It's 2024. We're going to continue to get as many good guests as we can and hopefully give you all some information that helps you with your golf swing. Son of a Butch comes to you every Wednesday. We will see you all next week.
So, should we go electric?
I think we should go electrified with Toyota.
Electrified?
Electrified means options. Yes, we could go all electric with a Toyota bZ4X, but then there are hybrids like Grand Highlander, or we could do something in between like a RAV4 plug-in hybrid.
So, Toyota is electrified diversified?
Yep, and with more options for reducing carbon emissions, the closer we all get to Toyota's Beyond Zero vision for the future.
Exactly how much coffee have you had this morning?
Learn more about our Beyond Zero vision for the future at toyota.com/beyondzero.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
You never want to find yourself out on the water fishing without the essentials. So it's best to always pack a Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie to protect against the sun. I mean, it provides great protection and it's really breathable so you don't get hot. That's a win-win. Columbia PFG has a lot of great gear. So before you head out on the water, head over to Columbia.com/PFG to shop their performance fishing gear.
Managing your diabetes just got easier. The powerful new Dexcom G7 lets you see your glucose numbers on your compatible watch and phone without fingersticks. And because Dexcom G7 is the most accurate CGM system, you can be confident in your food, exercise, and medication decisions. And all those decisions can lead to big results, like more time in range and lower A1C. Get started at Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.